Welcome to the Stuff and Junk Show. We share our opinions on random subjects from interesting news, social topics, pop culture, our likes and dislikes. If you've seen, heard, or read what we did and what we do. You know, stuff and junk. Hello, my name is Albert.
My name is Ruthie.
This is Johnny.
This is Anna.
Who wants to kick off our new year off like 5 minute segment ish? Thinkamabob. Anybody?
Oh wait.
Are we still doing the who was first in chat? Anna.
No. Oh my god.
You know what's funny? I had an idea where I was gonna do a random generator like every week because I'm tired of this like whoever's first because I've been first. And then I forgot. So this is my segment of how I forgot what I was going to. My intention was to make things more fun, and then I ruined it.
Yeah, Jami volunteers to go first anyway. Yeah,
because I can go first because I was just going to list all the things that I kind of watched and stuff like during the break and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Menu review, recommendation, all that stuff. So the first.
Go.
I saw two biopics over the break and stuff like that. One was The Fire Inside by a female boxer and stuff like that. The other one was The Complete Unknown, the Bob Dylan biopic. And the thing is, I recommend The Fire Inside. That's a better biopic. The last 20 minutes, it really does something really new and interesting and stuff like that. Bob Dylan, over my 47 years, maybe because I'm an immigrant, maybe because I'm a West Coast kid and stuff like that, I just don't get Bob Dylan and stuff like that. His music's perfectly fine. And this biopic did nothing for me, but other than reinforce my indifference towards Bob Dylan. So I don't know if you guys saw a Complete Unknown.
I did.
I didn't think much of it. What do you think? Thumbs up, thumbs down, indifferent. What do you think?
I went in not expecting much because I'm not a fan of biopics. I liked it more than I thought I would. I'm not saying it's a great movie, but I liked it more than
a good movie. It's basically to me. It was basically cosplay karaoke.
But the thing about biopics is that can they be considered good or bad movies? Well, yeah, they can. But
the point is,
they're so the same. Every single biopic is mostly the same. It's kind of hard to go excel it into like a good movie.
There are filmmakers, what do you call it, that have interesting takes on that, interesting angles and stuff like that. I was just thinking about the Apple, biopic with, Steve Jobs.
But that's different though. See, that's done differently.
That's my point.
No, but this is a standard.
It's an interesting take.
It has a more standard narrative to Bob Dylan. The thing I like about it was it covered a couple of years, not like trying to do his whole lifespan, like some biopics.
But in the whole Bob Dylan of it all, there's a biopic where seven different actors play Bob Dylan. That's an interesting take. This one's boring.
Okay, I get that. But based on this standard biopic narrative, it doesn't do like the whole from living to dead thing. Obviously, he's still alive. And I did see a character growth.
Oh, he's still alive?
He's still alive. I did see
everybody's surprised by that. Yeah.
I did see a character growth between the beginning of the movie and the end. So I did appreciate that there was an actual narrative to the story that they were telling here.
Talks like the penguin.
The only thing that I found annoying about this was that he had to choose between Elle Fanning and Monica Barbaro. I mean, how lucky can you get? Come on.
I mean, he wins either way. And it's like I said, my whole thing was like, I don't get Bob Dylan. I think we need, maybe it's a white person's thing. Maybe one of our white listeners can kind of write in or come in next time and mention what makes Bob Dylan interesting. But I don't get it. And thumbs down for me. The best movie I saw during the break is a Chinese movie called, what is it called? Honey, Money, Phony. It's a rom-com. And then that's very funny, very charming and stuff like that. I don't know how people can see it, like with, but in the future, if you guys ever see Honey, Money, Phony and stuff, it's very charming. It's very funny and stuff. It's a very, it's a lighthearted, kind of a cartoony, kind of a rom-com and stuff like that. As far as TV, I saw Squid Game season 2. Mm. And my whole thing with Squid Game season 2 is it's wonderful. I love it and stuff like that. My whole thing is like, we have to come together as a nation and figure out what is a season of television and what is part 1 or part 2 of a movie and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Agreed.
It's kind of BS, man. People have to make up their minds. You know what I mean? Because one episode into Squid Game season 2, I realized, you know what? It's just BS. That's false advertising. You know what I mean? It's without spoiling too much, it's season 2, part 1. It's more like it. It's a more accurate description of of Squid Game. But it's wonderful though. I love
agree.
It.
You know the backstory to that, right?
Oh yeah.
So for the people who don't know the backstory, originally this was supposed to be one season to finish Squid Game as a series, but the director writer wanted to add more stuff to the story. And instead of letting Netflix just give them like, oh, just take 12 episodes, take 15 episodes, take all you can, you know, because it gives us a lot of attention and money. The director said, like, no, let's split it in half, yeah, you know, and we'll do the other half, yeah, later on, kind of thing. And I'm like, just do part one, part two. I mean, clearly, this is supposed to be part one, part two, like John Vink said. Yeah. So much so that on the week that it was out, I was out with Jessica eating at a restaurant. And the table next to us were talking about this TV show that they're watching. And then the one person was going like, when is part two supposed to come out? Because it just kind of ended like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking in my head, oh, they're talking about Squid Game.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, come on now. Like, so listeners, if you're still deciding whether to watch season two or not, it ends in a cliffhanger that makes you want to like, okay, when is the next part? So either just wait until the next part, which apparently was spoiled. It was supposed to be in June. Just six months. Just wait 6 months.
They mentioned that it was going to be sometime in the summer or fall and stuff like that. And I did a little deduction. Basically, I'm guessing one of the reasons why they did all this is because of Emmys and stuff. They could have this season be in this year's Emmy, you know, time window and stuff like that. So I Googled what's the end point for the next year's Emmys? And it's May 31st. So it's definitely going to come out after May 31st, season three and stuff like that.
Oh, you didn't see the screw up by Netflix Korea?
No, I didn't pick up that part.
Netflix Korea leaked out that season two was supposed to be in June, like the last week of June.
That makes sense.
For July 4 weekend. And then they took it out immediately because that's not supposed to be known.
That makes sense. But more importantly, it's a wonderful season of television. You know, it takes a little bit of time to get going, but it's a wonderful, wonderful season of television. A lot of really new, interesting characters and stuff. Yeah. It doesn't quite get the same high as the first season of Squid Game. How could it really? But it's wonderful. It's a wonderful bit of television.
Yeah. For a season that can easily be criticized as like they're just doing the same thing as the first season, they sure added a lot of new elements that made it interesting.
Yeah,
shockingly really enough. Yeah.
It's really good and stuff like that. The other thing I watched, I did end up, because Rama 1.5 finished, I binge watched it in like 2 days. It's a wonderful bit of television, the story. So Rama 1.5, the remake, is on Netflix, right? But you can watch the original Rama from the late 80s on Hulu. And I watched kind of concurrently. And you know what? The bits that they used from 30 years ago still works today and stuff like that. You know, agreed. It's just wonderful. It's wonderful and stuff like that. The animation doesn't overshadow the story, the comedy, and all that stuff. They did a really excellent job. And more importantly, I would say Rama 1.5, this new version, is actually, this might be the best version of it. Not that I have a hardcore memory of the original Rama 1.5.
I did.
But I believe this version is the best version because they didn't move up the timeline. This story takes place in the 80s and the remake is still in the 80s, and that actually helps the story, especially with the gender bending stuff and stuff like that, you know what I mean? So now you look at it from the prism of this is a tale, this is like a fantasy and stuff like that, you know what I mean? So that sort of thing, it makes it not powerful. I don't care if it's powerful for other people, but it makes it powerful for some people, I guess, maybe. You know? But anyway, it's a wonderful bit of confection and television. So it's wonderful. I love it very much.
Especially nowadays with more of a point of view of LGBTQ+, watching Rama 1.5 nowadays, you kind of can't ignore that fact, right?
Yeah.
You also can't ignore the fact that in that world, apparently nobody have nipples. So there's that too.
Yeah. Hey, hold on. How dare you? But yeah, what's wonderful about it is now everybody has like an entry point into the series and stuff. Everybody can enjoy it and stuff. However you want to watch it, you can watch it. It's a wonderful piece of television and stuff like that.
I think the next season for Rama is also in the summer, I think.
I think so. I think it's like July or something like that.
Yeah.
Like that. All right. Do you want me to go on? Are you guys ready?
Oh, no. We can move on now. That's not mean. I mean, John Ming, are you done?
No, I'm just wondering if you guys have anything to I mean, do you guys have bits? I don't know.
Oh, I did.
Okay. Did? Past tense now?
Well, I did, but you know, I was ready to go.
Anna, go.
Over the weekend, yesterday. Was it yesterday? No, Friday. I watched on Netflix. Netflix did a TV series adaptation of 100 Years of Solitude. And I cannot believe that they did a damn good job. Like, this is one of the best book to TV show adaptations I have seen yet to this day. I literally was blown away by the care they took into creating this story, which I in my head believed could never be on screen. And the show just blew it out of the water. So I saw some articles on the interweb saying like, oh, it's too sexy, you shouldn't watch it. But every single scene, like, it wasn't too sexy. It wasn't like HBO where there were boobs every 5 seconds. I know, right? Every scene that was included that was spicy was in the book. There was nothing out, like no add-ons. No, it was just, it was in the book. So I just have to just give, like, I don't know. I'm so thoroughly impressed, because there was another one that I was really excited about that HBO Max did, which was like Water for Chocolate. And a lot of I haven't watched it yet, but a lot of people have said that it's really disappointing and all that. So I'm going to get to that one eventually. I just want to live in this world for as long as I can. So I do highly recommend watching it in Spanish, with the English subtitles or whatever subtitles you need, because it sounds a lot better and it's truer to the material. But overall, I am really shocked that Netflix did such an amazing job. And it sucks because there really hasn't been a lot of promotion for this, but it's made in Colombia. It has all Colombian actors. It's just so well done. And it's what my mind imagined when I read it, and seeing it on screen just like my mind, but way better. The set design was beautiful. It's shot beautifully. It's just a really good TV show to watch. And I actually can follow the family timeline because I can put like a face to like the name and stuff. So I highly recommend it. I know it's like recommendation, but you know, this is one of the TV shows. I think I had to be in the right mindset for it. And this week I was, where it's sad, it's happy, there's so many emotions in this story of a family that, you know, follows the family from the beginning to the end, and it's just so heartbreaking and wonderful, and it's everything I could have imagined, and it's so beautiful to see this amount of passion that was put into a work of art from Latin America.
Yeah, thanks for that. I didn't even realize the TV show was already out.
Yeah, no promotion. It was out last month.
I think there was a lot of lead in into it coming out. Because I heard about this like months ago, mm-hmm. right? And about how it's like, this is an impossible story to tell in TV show, but we're going to do it. It is. One of those things, right? So I did see the promotional to it. I just didn't know when it was coming out.
But that follows Netflix's whole thing. Like, they'll announce something like when they get the rights, they announce it, blah, blah, blah. And then they release a trailer like 3 weeks before it comes out, and then you never hear from it again. You know what I mean? It's like,
exactly.
That's just Netflix's thing. That's just the MO.
And
that's a Squid Game, obviously.
Or Cobra Kai. You know.
Yeah. The thing is, sounds like Netflix is doing what they're doing in Korea. They're pumping a lot of money into countries like Colombia, you said. They're probably pumping a lot of money into these other foreign things because the conversion rate, you know what I mean? So they get more bang for the bucks. Mm-hmm. Labor laws are different in these different places and stuff like that. So if they get a hit, if they get a Squid Game out of it, that's great. If not, you know, they don't lose that much. You know?
Well, yeah. I mean, this isn't one of the stories where there would be a season two, right? This is a one and done.
It's based on, did he finish it? Did he finish the book?
They did 8 episodes. I'm almost done with it. I had to stop because I was just so emotional. But I believe it is a one and done. I don't know what else they would do unless they, you know.
Does it seem like they're going to finish the book in the 8 episodes?
You know, yes. I think they've done it enough justice where I don't feel like they cut out so much because, you know, I've read this. I try to finish this book so many times. So the first half, I'm like, I know by heart. And everything that was happening was word for word what I was like, okay, we're in this chapter, we're in this chapter. So, yeah, they sped some things up, but overall, it's still just really well done. And funny enough, the only reason why I knew it was out was because of TikTok, because I was like on TikTok and then I saw something. I was like, oh my God, it's out. Like, holy crap. So again, it's really well done. And I saw an interview on TikTok where they were interviewing the sons of Gabriel Garcia Marquez. And they're like, how do you think he would feel about this project that came out? And they're like, oh, you know, he was always kind of iffy about it. One day he'd be okay with it. One day he wouldn't. The one thing he didn't want was it to become this Hollywood production, everything condensed into a 3-hour movie with Hollywood actors. And this one isn't that. It's, you know, 8 episodes. It has Colombian actors. It's true to the material. There was nothing changed, like nothing big changed, like, you know. So he could be okay with how this was presented to the world. And I, for one, am so proud of this because, again, it just seems so impossible. It seems like a very impossible book to translate. And they did it. Like, I just can't believe that they did it. Perfect.
Yeah, congratulations to the production team. See, that's another thing that you kind of, you're literally, you said, like, can't believe Nexus pulled it off. When do we get to the point where we, Do we always have to credit the people who give the money or the actual filmmakers? It's an idea. Because, I mean, without Netflix, they wouldn't be able to make this. But without without the filmmakers, it wouldn't be this good, right?
But then Netflix could be, like, powerful and be like, no, I want this instead. You know, like, because there's another book series that it got bought out by Universal Studios or whatnot, but they wanted to change everything so dramatically that the author just waited for the rights to fall out from them in order to revert back to him, and that's kind of what other authors do. So, I mean, it's a little bit of 50-50. They get the right filmmakers, but also, like, Netflix allowed them to keep the story intact, where they didn't come in and be like, no, I want more boobs, or no, we need more sex, or we need this, or we, you know, we can't have magic in this land, so make it more realistic.
Or they probably didn't pressure them into a tight timeline to, and then it just ruins the editing.
Or you need to have, like, a Hollywood star, or Noah, whatever his face in this movie, the Netflix guy. But no, they deserve some things.
It seems like Netflix, if you're out, you're sort of in the fringes of Netflix, you know what I mean? You have a higher chance of success. Like I said, those Korean productions, it's a Colombian production. I think if it's not part of the Netflix core American market, I think you have a better chance of success in some of that. Because my biggest gripe with Netflix, the original stuff, is definitely their movies. Their movies, for the most part, are pretty janky and stuff like that. I still haven't seen Rebel Ridge. For the most part, a lot of their original movies for the U.S. market specifically are not very good.
Rebel Ridge, I would say, is good.
Rebel, So again, Netflix, thank you for putting this out there, because I legitimately wanted to cry because it was so beautiful. It's a wonderful story. If you want to watch it, 8 episodes only. And it's a really great journey to go on, and I'm glad people are out there going to consume this and know about this story that's out there. And, you know, if you want, it kind of reminds you, like, I feel like it inspired Encanto in a way. So there's that if you want a Disney inspiration.
Oh, my story. Understanding, I haven't read any of his novels, but my understanding is this guy's a very influential writer, something like that, magical realism and stuff like that. Yes. He's one of the most influential writers of the 20th century. That's why his books always end up in the top 10 list as far as, like, books written and stuff like that.
there was like a there's another author, Argentinian author, I believe, who wrote a story, House of Spirits, and I felt like it was very similar. And they made her book into a movie, but it was all Hollywood actors. It had Jeremy Irons, Meryl Streep.
Ew, gross.
And I'm like, this is an Argentinian story, yeah. But and so I'm so glad it, that he.
So was it tanned Meryl Streep?
No, actually, like, I mean, I don't know, like, Argentinians, are they, they're colonized a lot, yeah, so I don't know, too, I it could have been in that vein of,
Mestizo.
This is part of a larger conversation, but I believe in 2025, if you can get, you should get, like, international actors for these kind of book or play adaptations. I mean, We know the talent's out there and stuff like that. You know what I mean? There's no reason.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, no, these were all incredibly good actors. One of the main actresses, this was her first TV show. She's like a dancer or something, whatnot. And this is her first TV show. And she was amazing. Like, so awesome. And I'm like, there's this talent out there, you know? And we get to see it. And we may have never gotten this if it would have gotten in the hands of like Hollywood back in the day, but it took its time and it became what it is, and it was perfect.
This is a bit of a tangent, but I saw the Nosferatu in the theater and stuff like that. And Nosferatu, this is a thing where he's adapting a book, right? And the book sort of takes place in Germany, I think, right? So, and then the thing is, some of these actors have different. From all parts of the world, but mostly from Great Britain, someday. And there's kind of this English accent, like a small little English accent, but it's also shot in sort of this very quote unquote realistic, grounded sort of way. Even I'm at a point where, like, you know what? I think we're at a point where we could just, you know, hire German actors and stuff like that. I know it's kind of weird, but it's because it's American production, American money and stuff like that. But it's like, you know, if you're going for the sort of like realism, you know, hire some Germans, man. Well, go for it. Just go for it and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Do it.
But
plus my two bits.
But it needs to have the stars to have money, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
There we go.
Well. All right. So apparently this episode is what you've been watching. So, Ruti, I guess you're going to talk about John Wick now? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, I think so. Because, I mean, I basically binged watched John Wick all
weekend. Hold on a second, guys. We just time warped 10 years ago.
Yeah.
See, the thing is, I knew I had to be mentally prepared to watch this movie. I mean, I just thought that, you know, like I needed to be, you know, there was like such a buildup from the first movie. Also, fun fact, I accidentally watched John Wick 2 first, like the first time I watched it. The first time I watched it, this was like maybe 7 years ago, 8 years ago. And then I was like, this doesn't make any sense. And then I stopped watching it, and I think it was on TV, and it just like started playing, and I was like, this looks cool. And then
Ruti. John May, don't you remember the time where you just turn on the TV and a movie's playing? You have no idea what it is.
And it might be the sequel.
You may not know. Come on.
You know, and shows didn't come on streaming. Yeah. Like you actually, like TV would just be on. It's called cable. And there was a box that came with it and a remote, a funny looking remote control. I used an Excel sheet
to organize all my viewing stuff. Like I got watched it at this time, this app, the streams on it.
So anyway, I watched like half the movie and I stopped halfway because that's when I realized. Yeah, exactly. And it was, you know, I realized like, why doesn't this make any sense? And then I realized halfway through, like, oh, because it's two. Because they kept on talking about a dog. And I was like, what dog? And then
the dog.
It's that dog. And then I kept on telling myself, okay, once it comes out, I'll watch one and then two. And then three comes out. So I was like, oh, man, now I got to wait for like three. Now I have to watch three movies in a row. And then, you know, just as I was getting myself hyped up, and then there was four.
There we go.
And I'm like, okay, this is a lot. And I'm hearing like, you know, people are crying over the end of four. And really? I'm just like, yeah, I heard some people cried. And I was like, okay.
I mean, come on now.
I still, don't spoil it for me because I'm still like halfway done with four.
By the way, speaking of those spoilers, I know the movies have been out for a while, but don't spoil the movie. We're not doing spoilers.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So then this weekend, it's been kind of a chill weekend. So I said, you know what? Maybe it's time. And this time, yes, we are just going to binge through. And I did John Wick 1, Friday night, I think it was, when I was like basically live tweeting you guys in our text messages. And then I did 2 and 3 last night, and today I'm doing 4. So I'm almost done. Is it true that there's a 5 coming out? There's no 5 coming out, right?
It's a spin-off.
No. What happened?
Oh, the ballerina? Is that?
Yes. Yeah. Ana de Armas.
Yeah.
No, the thing is though, is that originally there wasn't going to be a 5, but the company, I forget who it was, Lionsgate gave Keanu Reeves and the other guy a lot of money. Go, hey, can you make a 5? And they go, all right, we'll consider it. So the thing is though, is that 4 ends pretty good in terms of like, if there's not another one, it's fine.
Okay. Okay.
But if they can come up with a 5th, they're doing it. So the 5th is still up in the air. But if Keanu Reeves and the other guy can figure out another story, they'll do it. They'll go ahead and do it. If they can figure it out.
Okay.
Yeah. The John Wick universe, after you finish John Wick 4, there's still a Prime. It's an Amazon Prime.
The Continental.
Yeah, there's like another spinoff.
It's a prequel about the hotel that they stay at.
Wait, did it come out or it's coming out?
It came out 2 years ago,
I think? Yeah. No, it was last year. It didn't make much of a dent in pop culture. I don't think people liked it and stuff. And the other thing for sure that's coming out is Ballerina next year with Andamar.
Next year or this year?
Is it next year this or this year?
Oh, yeah. This 2025. Year. I forgot
it's what
year
it was. It's already 2025.
Yeah.
I said it was 2000 earlier today. I think after like 2 shots at this place, which leads me to my next topic. But that's for after. Yeah, basically like watching through, and you guys had a kick out of like all my comments throughout the show, which is
how the thing is watching the John Wick in the theater is a lot of fun, man. It's a lot of fun. You saw 3, so you know the beginning of 3 in the theater was wild.
Yeah,
wild.
Yeah, that would have been good in theaters.
I still think 3 is my favorite out of all of them.
Wow.
I'd go 1, 3, 4, 2. I know some people love 2, but I'm not a big fan of 2.
I'm not a big fan of 2 because of that one exact plot point that they introduced to the series. And I hate them for that. Hate it for that.
There's some wonderful moments in 2 and stuff, but that, I know what plot point you're talking
about. Yeah.
I don't like it, but I like 1 the best, 3, 4, and then 2.
I like 1 the best because he was more like emotionally tied.
I can agree with that. I have to skip the first 20 minutes because I can't go through that again. No, never again. No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but part 3 I think had the best fight scenes. Mm-hmm. I know part 4, a lot of people might point out part 4, but I'm saying part 3. Part 3 had the best fight scenes.
Was part 3 with Halle Berry?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That was great.
I must have watched those scenes like 3 times.
Yes. I would say this about 3 though. I think 3 peaks really early and towards the middle, and then it kind of goes downhill. I don't remember how 3 ends, but 4 I thought was pretty consistent. I like 4 a lot.
Did anybody else agree with the casting of the Adjudicator?
I guess so.
He wasn't my favorite either.
Yeah. The girl from Billionaire.
Oh, you're talking about her? I mean them?
Yeah, them, yeah.
No, I did not. I didn't like their performance. I think John Wick has a certain tone, a certain pitch. I don't think they matched this.
They did not, no.
Oh.
I thought you were talking about the villain from John Wick 4.
No, in 3.
I know what you're saying.
It was too much of the same character from Billionaire that they just brought into this movie, and it's kind of like, I think it should have been a completely different feel and look. And then that one other, the mute character, it's like, she didn't really bring anything to the movie. That kind of pissed me off. But 4 so far, like the fight scenes, amazing. So, but I just have a problem with like the sequence of where things are. Like they'll go from like the stables, which are in Tribeca in New York, which is all the way downtown, to like a scene in Queens under the trains, under elevated trains, which there are no elevated trains in Manhattan, to going from Grand Central to going over the Manhattan Bridge, which is like a mile away from each other, to then coming back into Wall Street.
If I remember correctly, on the Brooklyn Bridge, John Wick First of all, like, he walked all the way from upstate New York across the Brooklyn Bridge or something like that to get to the hotel. Yeah. It's fine. It's fine. It's
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, yeah. He took the bus and then miraculously he was just walking in the rain the whole time.
Lost
yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah. So yeah, fun times.
We recommend John Wick.
Highly recommend John Wick. Well, if you don't know New York that well, you're gonna enjoy it. But having known the city like pretty much block by block, it's kind of annoying just to like see these sequences. And it's like, was time supposed to pass by? Because like that's a good 20-minute, you know, motorbike ride or like run, or you know, especially if you're taking horses around. I'm pretty sure that's you're not gonna see that.
Who's taking that many horses around here? Like,
right. Yeah, you're gonna go from downtown to Queens in like 2 seconds. Yeah, sure. Okay. And just to finish off this weekend, I went to a drag brunch at a Filipino restaurant.
Oh, I love those.
That it was so much fun and so unexpected. The food was good. It's like a newly opened restaurant. It's a sister restaurant of another. They opened up one I think a year ago two blocks away, and then they opened this one last month. So they do drag brunch every week on Sundays,
what's the name of the restaurant?
Calye restaurant. Okay. There's Calye Kalye Calye Rivington, which is where I went, and then there's another one, Calye Broom, not to be mistaken with Calye Bistro, which is there's one here on 64th Street. All have good food though, but not all of them. Well, I guess the two Calyes have drag brunch. I don't know if it's going to be the same people, but amazing show. It wasn't like a full restaurant, but the energy was all there. It was a fun time. I didn't even really know that there was going to be a drag show. I was just there with my friend who was like, oh, I want to try Filipino food for the first time. I said, sure. Yeah, why not? And luck would have it, for the past year, she's been asking me to bring her to a drag show because she's never been to one. And it just so happens the first time she's trying Filipino food is also going to be the first time she's ever going to see a drag show. And it just, everything fell into place and it was a good time. So if anybody's ever in New York, we should all do drag brunch together at Calye in the Lower East Side for a fun time and food. I promise you, this is not an advertisement.
This is the one. This one in Broome, you said?
No, Broome Street.
Broome Street.
Yeah, this is the one in Rivington Street. But they're both in the Lower East Side, so it's like two blocks away from each other. Oddly enough, they didn't shoot any of those scenes in John Wick, but the Manhattan Bridge is close to there.
Okay, I'm looking at the Google thing, and it's Calye Broome is what's written on here. I'm guessing that's the one, right?
Calye Rivington.
Rivington. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Super fun.
In my Googling, there was actually Caesar Calye Grill Diamond Bar. I'm like, what? And apparently it doesn't exist anymore. So yeah.
Oh well. Anna, you probably like noticed the word Calye. It's just we spell it K-A-L-Y-E, but it's basically from Spanish Calye.
Oh, okay.
Just like spelled the way it means the same thing. Street.
Yeah, it sure does.
I love it.
All right. Well, way to go to ruin the impromptu what we've been watching, Ruti, but it's fine.
You watch a drag show.
I had to. I watched the drag show. I haven't seen the drag show in like 10 years.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
And it's like, you know, you don't have to pay an outrageous amount of like admission fees, and it's just you're having brunch and all of a sudden there's drag queens around and a little fun.
I'm kidding. All right. On that note, thanks for listening. You can find this podcast on Instagram, Blue Sky Threads, and YouTube at Stuff Junk Show. You can find me, Albert, on Instagram, Blue Sky Threads, and
Letterboxd. Albert, did you go?
I don't go in this segment.
Okay.
I only go if it went by too fast, and then I'll fill in the time.
Oh, this is your way of saying we talk too much. How dare you?
No.
Too much blah, blah, blah of the blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Where was I? Oh, yeah. You can find me also on Instagram, Blue Sky Threads, and Letterboxd at Albert5x5.
And you can find me on Instagram at RuthieGrace13 and Ruthie's Cats.
Find me on social media, JIAMANGOU.
You can find me on social media at Anna Voltage or on my other show, Most Extreme Drinking Challenge.
Music has been provided by Gloomy June. Updates, content, info, ways to support us, and everything else on the show notes found on whoatwordswhy.com. Before we go, let's give our 8 listeners some recommendations for this week.
It wasn't the last.
See, I knew somebody was going to say something. Jeez Louise. Speaking of talking too much, I guess we're going to go back and get to who was first in chat. Anna!
I would like to recommend 100 Years of Solitude on Netflix. Please watch it. Great show. Let me know what you think. I hope everyone enjoys it as much as I did.
All right.
On my list.
Yay!
Next in the chat was Jamming.
Oh, what do you call it?
Well, actually, no, technically it's me, huh?
Yeah.
So I don't get to go last anymore, like I usually prefer?
I guess you could still. Just go.
All right, Jamming, go ahead.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, that was God. Worth it.
That totally worth that little side note. Okay, so I watched a couple other things. What If Season 3 is the last season of What If. Mm-hmm. At some point, it became like diminishing returns. Like this season 3 of What If is probably the weakest, but it's still fine. Very watchable. They released one episode a day for like 8 straight days. Binge watched it. Loved it, and so it's great. It's one. It's fine. It's pretty fine. And then I've been watching My Hero Academia. Mm-hmm. It's been 7 seasons, bunch of movies. I've been binge watching like the first couple of seasons. It's fun. It's a lot. It's really a lot.
Isn't
fun.
This also the last season of My Hero?
It's upcoming. Yeah, it's upcoming. It's the last. Yeah. The manga, as far as I know, is finished.
And then there's a spin-off after this, right?
Yes, there's a spin-off after this and stuff like that. And I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I saw the first 2 episodes of Solo Leveling in the theaters. Wonderful bit of a storytelling, wonderful television show. The actual season has started this weekend stuff. So
I actually noticed it actually literally says season 2.
Yeah.
Which is shocking. And mostly anime doesn't really acknowledge seasons.
Well, I think the isn't it season 2 arising, something slowly rising. Anyway, but also real quick, if you are going to watch Solo Leveling, I recommend just binge watching, save up a bunch of episodes and watch the same time. At least do it for the first 2 episodes, because the first 2 episodes are like one contained story. So yeah.
Well, I mean, the first season was kind of like that too. It makes you want to watch the next one right away. So.
I mean, in general. I honestly recommend watching anime in large chunks, like binge and stuff like that. And also, another anime I just watched the first couple episodes, Bocchi, The Rock, is on Crunchyroll. It's a one. If you're like me and very introverted and very have social anxiety, it's a wonderful representation of what it's like to be introverted and what to be have social anxiety and stuff like that. You know what I mean? It's about a teenage Japanese girl trying to make it in a rock band. I am obviously not a teenage Japanese girl trying to make it in a rock band.
What?
But the introvert, the fact that she's an introvert, the fact that she has social anxiety is something I relate to very much. So at one point, she's having this conversation with his friend, blah, blah, blah. And then she says, you know what? I'm tired. I have no energy left. I'm going to go home. It's very relatable to me. It's what I feel like doing right now.
It definitely sounds like you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Ruthie. Oh, Ruthie's still muted.
What's a mute button? Just repeating what I mentioned before, either of the two, if you've never seen, which what human being in the world aside from me has never seen John Wick series,
you'd be surprised.
There you go. For those of you who I represent, I would give it a go. It's kind of like, you know, I mean, Morpheus is in it. So it's kind of like The Matrix, but like in the real world, but not really, even kind of in New York. Really cool.
It's the reunion and then tour.
Like, exactly. And like Stick It to the Man, you know, kind of movie. Really good action scenes. I love the combat scenes. All the actors that they bring into the movie. Really, you know, high quality stuff. Sometimes the storylines.
You got Jinx from James Bond. You got Ip Man.
Mm-hmm. You got everybody, literally everybody. And like, I like that he tries to speak, like he tries to seem like he knows like all the languages. So it's like, okay, sure. Yeah, sure, Keanu. But I appreciate the effort. I appreciate the efforts. There's a lot of effort. Yeah, he speaks Japanese,
really cares,
Indonesian, ASL, what else? Spanish, Italian, Russian.
Like you're just a hater.
No, I'm saying I love it. I'd appreciate a little bit more practice.
Well, you know what? You can't do everything and save all the puppies in the world, okay?
I know. And where's his pit bull? I'm still waiting for the pit bull to come back.
You know, there needs to be more chihuahuas
If Keanu mm-hmm. was here, he would say, "What, Ruti? You don't like the way I have accents?"
No, actually, I think he would. You know what he would say with all of that? He would just go. He would look at you and he would just go, "Yeah,
yeah,
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 yeah, yeah." Yeah.
No, we love you, Keanu.
Oh, we actually love Keanu.
We do.
We really love you.
Swear,
don't
it's such a. I think it's such
the
a
first
fun
podcast you ever listen to with us.
Please listen to us. We do love you. It's all love. It's not a criticism.
All love.
Yeah, we
wouldn't be this detailed if I wasn't so into it.
Right? Oh my god, the group chat was popping off. I was like, dear lord,
so right. much I was into it.
I should have done that for 100 years solitude. No, I'm just kidding.
Yo, anything else you want to add to the many years ago John Wick series of movies, Ruti?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All the movies.
Okay. My recommendation has nothing to do with watching things, but it does have to do with watching out for your security. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with the fact that people can, there's a scam where people SIM swap your phone number. Like, they will get your phone number and then they'll put your phone number in their phone so they can get your information, blah, 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 blah. That kind of thing.
What?
Yeah, it's a thing that's been around for a while now. But there's been reports that it happening has increased, right? Because a lot of people, when they do two-factor authentication, so a lot of people use text messaging as the authentication of like verifying who you are. So what hackers will do nowadays is, they will just steal your number. And the way they steal your number is they'll pretend to be you, call the cell phone company, go, "Hey, I need to transfer my number to this phone instead. Or I need to transfer my number to this carrier instead." And a lot of them, they don't really fight back. They just go, "Okay, you know, just give me your, well, just tell me what your information is." And then they'll tell you your information based on their hacking skills. And then they'll steal your number and then they'll take all your money. There's a couple of things that you can do to avoid this. I know last year I said use passkeys. That's one of them. Authentication app. Instead of using text two-factor authentication, use actual authenticator apps. There's several of them out there. Google Authenticator is the most popular one, I believe. And the other one that I would definitely recommend, and I believe it's law now, all carriers need to offer this, is you can do a number lock on your phone number so that your number is tied to your current device that's currently into it. So if a hacker tries to call your carrier and say, "Hey, I need to transfer my phone number to this carrier or phone," they'll look at your account and go, "Well, you have your phone a number locked. So you need to take you need to turn it off before you can do that." And the only way they can turn it off is if they actually have access to your actual account, you know, to T-Mobile or to AT&T
and know
or
that
Verizon.
PIN.
And to be able to actually turn it off. So that stops them in their track from doing this. So it's free, by the way. So number lock your phone, go on your Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, or whatever website or app, and turn that on to protect you. All you got to do is just turn it off when you want to get a new phone. But for now, turn it on. It's an extra step to prevent hackers. So, number lock. All right. This was episode 834 of the Stuff and Junk Show. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, this podcast has been a Who Was Worst Part Production. Okay, seriously, are we always gonna do 45-minute shows now?
I mean,
we just talk a lot. We have okay. To be fair, we haven't recorded in a while, so we have a lot to get out of each other.
No, but it's been happening a lot, right, John Meng?
Okay.
It's been happening a lot. We've been going over. You know, at first, I'm like, I didn't mind because I love our conversations and it keeps going. But at a certain point, should we try and think about the time as well?
You can absolutely put us on a timer. Mm,
yeah. Oh, actually, that could be a thing. Like, you can go, okay, you have 1.5 minutes, timer starts now. And then
we tried that back in the day and it doesn't work.
Did we?
Yeah, we did.
No.
I used to have a timer that I would turn on my side. Remember, they'll turn off and then I go, "That's it, you're done. Let's move on," you know. And I did not like that because I feel like it stifles the conversation. So I think it's better if we're just more aware of how long it's running and to try and stop by ourselves if possible, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the listeners don't mind if it talk long because, you know.
They don't.
They don't. But, I mean, we all have lives. Some people have to go to sleep, like Ruti. I mean,
I sleep like all crazy hours. Like if I'm asleep during the podcast, when the podcast is happening, Ruti's, I'm asleep.
Ruti's sending us reels at 2 a.m. Don't sleep. Okay.
Some people usually wait till this is over before they eat dinner. Jame.
That's me.
You know, or me. Anna, kind of thing.
That's so, always me.
So I think as much as I enjoy this conversation, I think we should try and consciously try and pare it down to, you know, a good around 30 minutes instead of 45.
Less talk and more shut the fuck up. Am I right, guys? Am I right?
Yeah.
Let's keep it to the facts and business as usual.
Yeah. I mean,
no fun allowed.
I'm not blaming anybody because I do the exact same thing like you guys. But yeah, I think, I don't know. I don't know if it bothers you. If it doesn't bother you guys, then whatever. Right.
Once I'm done with my bit, I just take one earphone out and I start watching TV. So whatever you guys say afterwards.
Yeah. I did my nails while recording when you guys were talking. So okay. I
was managing Key's glucose because it was crashing this whole time.
Okay. But I would say mentally, in your head, well, at least I try to look at it as this little 5 minute bit as the sort of like a little academic, a little like if the book report, I should have an introduction, a little like lay things out a little bit, and then wrap it up in a few sentences. You know what I mean? That's why I look at it.
So we need to do like an APA format.
Yeah, but that's true. But I say it's a tangent. You know what I mean?
But then that adds on.
And also the little tangents, I usually get as a little punchline, like a little dick joke, a little ass joke. So, you know. I think they're worth it. We'll let the audience slide.
Greg, Kenny, let us know. I know Derek doesn't like it. I'm just kidding. But you guys talked too much. No, I'm just kidding.
You know what? He listens to hard.
Yeah, an easier way to really pare this down to a manageable level is we just drop down to like a. CBS, hello? What was that just now?
No, I just turned on the
somebody's TV. Tom Ming, we're not even done with the converse. Jeez. He's
done. What were you saying, Albert?
You know, this is the after credits, right?
At least I mute the tea in my phone.
I know. My TV's muted. I want the Real Housewives right now, okay?
Yeah, this is the after credits. But, Harry, that's not a train of thought.
You said that is the best way to...
Yes. The one thing that the other option is we pair that to one episode a week, but it's an hour long. And then like just takes out some segments out, and then that's it.
I don't know, but are you happy with that, though?
I like the two-episode format.
See, there you go.
Yeah.
So... You're the head honcho. We'll be more aware of the time.
It's a partnership.
It's a dictatorship. You said that once.
I would never say that.
You know, you have our blessing for it to be an authoritarianship and a dictatorship.
It's fine.
We're all immigrants. We're all children of immigrants. We're used to authoritarianism.
Exactly.
Just saying. I mean, if you guys would like that, then I mean we could consider doing that.
I mean, I'm not like miffed at all by the amount of time we take. There are times where I tell you like, hey, I gotta go to Costco, and we finish on time. But I mean, other than that, I do try to get things done beforehand. The other dinner is a thing where I could have done it earlier, but I just feel like I'm rushed. So I will wait till afterwards where I can take my sweet old time. And Jack in the Box already knows I show up after 9. So it's
fine. And I feel like we let each other know, like, if we have to dip early or, like, you know, if we just dip out. Yeah. Like, Jamming just dips out. Like, he's probably dipped out right now.
He doesn't even say anything. But, I mean,
I'm
not worried about the time that we're putting into this, but I understand that you, on the other hand, also have to edit this, which I am more than happy to help to edit.
Well, no. I mean, there is a reason why we record 2 days before I actually have to release it. So that gives me buffer. But, yeah. So, speaking of which, next week, Anna won't be on the show because she'll be in Anime LA. And next week, I will also be at Screen Crush Live, which means that either we lose a week of episodes or we record some other time.
What were the dates you were saying?
The Saturday. The Saturday.
Yeah, we could do a Saturday.
Sunday earlier or Monday night.
I can't do Monday night, but so Saturday
or Sunday or early Sunday. Jamaica.
As far as I know, I don't have anything scheduled for next week's weekend, so it doesn't matter to me.
No, well,
what I mean, is what, early Sunday?
Like before, well, for me, it'll be before 4, which essentially would mean
7 p.m. for me.
7 for you, yeah, Rudy.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's fine for me.
So either so Sunday afternoon?
Keep you guys on a time crunch, so that'd be good.
So
yeah,
so,
Sunday or Saturday works for me.
How about
anytime
Saturday?
After 3 p.m.
Jamming. You're okay with Saturday?
I think Sunday works. Yeah, Saturday or Sunday, it all works.
So Saturday night, I think we work pretty good, I think. All right, anyways, we'll consider that on the chat, but yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, listeners, you just got a taste of what we do behind the scenes here. I'm sure you've heard it before, but until next week, y'all, have a good night.
Y'all.
And
good night.
And <scene. laughs>
Oh my God, there's still going on here. Okay.
All right. All right, y'all. It's later. Already late. Thanks for recording. Welcome to 2025 of the Stuff and Junk Show.
Yes.
Yay.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.